Okay. This poem has no name. So. Endlessly moving, toing and fro, and fro, and fro. Gentle, momentarily, then parting, abruptly flashing to show light, translucent Tiffany blue veins and dark undergrowth. The great silent body in shadow, eternal, indigo, go, go. As above, so below. Oh, oh, oh. Polar opposing or polarized, Western eyes disguised by terrorist lies. Eye the eye, tempestuous the sky, lashed grey on colour, on pigments, painting pastel shades with tints of misinterpreted red. Which lay naturally into sharp, terse persimmon, almost missed, forgotten.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you. Next we have Jenny DeBee.
Lessons. Do not teach your daughters to fear spiders. Eight-handed sisters, tricksters with their tummies pulled tight, victims of hubris, a goddess curse, capable of threading the world together with nothing but their organs. Do not teach your daughters to fear snakes, feather-coated carriers of the sky, bold gardeners who didn't lie, boneless bodies to encircle the world and swallow its tails. Do not teach your daughters to fear the dark. They were dragged from the night of a belly into the sun to fly high and be burned and burned and burned again. The dark is a nurturer, a vastness of shared heartbeats. Do not teach your daughters to fear dirt, to which they will return, of which they are made, built of clay after the animals. Do teach your daughters to disobey. Do not teach your daughters to fear deep water, great mother monster, the first before land or light or God to speak them into being, alien deeps that gave rise to the sum of all parts, theater of war, safe passage, promise, chained voyage, journey to the edge of a world that does not fall off. A page that doesn't turn. Doldrums, currents, and reefs uncharted, teach your daughters to sail, swim, and hear whale song. To carry the serpent, free the spider, to walk by night with dark crescent smiles under their fingernails. To unwrite the legends scripted by chisel and stone. Send your daughters out to learn.
Thank you, Jenny. Next we have Dan Johnson.
New York City gets its water supply from like upstate New York, like 90 minutes north, and I was wondering about that and where that came from, and so here's this. The reservoir. What does the earth soak up while we are there? Sweat and scuffed knees, the placenta buried in the front yard. The very air we breathe cycled through our place, by our place always. After we are gone and they fill in your bedroom, drowning each cathedral of memory given to a family, to a communal life, where does it go? How much can we take with us? Now the trees lie dormant in day water, the grasses turned to murkweed, speak around the currents that turned over stones that you and I placed there as promises to no one. There are reservoirs like this all around. These large bodies with dead tree trunks erupting out of the water like half-made crosses, whispering to each other of memory. These places where people used to live. Till there was a knock on the door, a letter in the post with a check, and block letters reading eminent domain. They could not fight the order. No money for legal fees. They did not tell the trees, merely left. Now there is a cemetery behind what used to be my grandfather's house. Tiny headstones with weak writing, long faded. Remains moved miles from the new belly of the reservoir. Their families begin again. New York City drinks the silt of the past.
Thank you, Donna. Next up, we have our almost five-word challenge winner tonight. Not our five-word winner, our almost five-word winner, Philip Spillane. He's won it loads of times before.
I was told to do this one tonight. Well, but the last time I did it, he shall not be named, said, enjoy work tomorrow. I hope you enjoy work tomorrow. Because it's based on where I work. I work in IT. That's very unfortunate. And when most people learn that I work in IT, they say, will I ever write a poem about working in IT? I used to say no. Now, unfortunately, I have. And it's turned into something else entirely. Now the computers speak to me. And the servers hum. But also the trees at the same time, because they all start running into each other, which is quite threatening. This is called the server hermit. Of course, lots of times. Servers hum, hum to their services like big boxy bits of Buddhas locked in iron cages, their green eyes winking at me as I pass on. I shift to the shuttle where air conditioners prolong the heat wave with this exhausting ice age. At the back lies a midnight blank, a Dell Optiplex 960, with its dark braille door hanging ajar. In there, its motherboard tingled electric emerald, like Mother Earth. A board like Circuit Garden. Pagoda, chipsets, extensions and RAMs, snowed under by flakes of dust. I click, click, click in the USBs and screw in the Lilac VGA. I shove a power cable up its backside. The fan exhales. Finally, I press its Bundai and ignites its whole nature. Like a beast awakened from suspended meditation, the monitor blinks and displays its GUIs like psychedelic flowers in dawn. Tum tee tum tum tum, the window XP chimes. It tells me things is doing and done in passive mannerisms, like a faithful familiar. I subside in the hum of a summer forest, kept away from the windy variable outside where elements can invade. Suddenly, the power supply coughs, the computer blinks out, and so do I. Hum. Hum. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Next up we have Jim Quickard, aka Venus Envy.
Konnichiwa. So this one is called First Date, and it may or may not be about someone who seems weird. And he's telling Nina about his friend Emma, how she still holds a grudge against the English, and wants to storm Buckingham Palace in a black balaclava to retrieve the six counties and still make it home in time for Love Island. We sip ice-cold pints in the soft light of the Crane Lane. Quartz beams from my eyes and I feel like I'm smiling too much. Like I'm on some after-school special from the God Channel. Smiling like I'm the type of guy who plays Connect Four with his mother. I sip my pint and tell myself to shut up for the love of God. Dating is like cycling a bike. You get better at it when your dad isn't chasing behind you, shouting. I can do it on my own now. Like a scientist, I'm performing litmus tests on words to see what color they turn when I spill them on the table. Mix them into a conversation like a school experiment. Marriage turned baby pink. Check. Children turned sunflower bright. Check. Commitment turned green. Check. Ex-boyfriend turned vengeful black. Trust turned a rusty brown. Intimacy turned peachy pink, but it was speckled with distrustful brown. My litmus test results are inconclusive. My hypothesis is thrown. I inspect the round bottom flask, how it shines in the full spectrum of him, all of his colors spun in a blur of hopes and dreams, imperfections pulsating behind his hard green eyes. Those hard green eyes are just about indestructible. The flecks of icy white contract in the light when he smiles at me. And I feel for a moment that I've got his tenderness. I tell him that I can roll a cigarette with my eyes closed. He places his hand over my gaze, tells me to become Adele and start rolling in the deep. That moment lasted longer than we both thought, blindfolded by fingers against my skin. When I lick the pillar into shape, we pause for a moment. Light caramelizing our skin, we make eye contact. Maybe we kissed.
Thank you, Venus.
You're welcome.
And next we have Nia Twimmy.
This is about Eurydice, who married Orpheus in mythology and died on their wedding day. That's all you need to know. Oh, because a snake bit her. Have a good night. Alone on his wedding night, he pokes ashes in the grate, stares at the gutter out the window, passports on the mantel. Tomorrow was supposed to be their honeymoon. He slept well that night. It would have made sense if he didn't, but he did. But now the realization slinks under the sheets like a snake. He hates snakes. There's a hoard of wedding presents by the door. He'll have to send them all back. He'll open cupboards just to smell her, then he'll defrost the freezer. Hello, my name is Barbara. How may I help? Hi, Barbara. I've had a change of circumstance. I'd like to cancel a flight. Can you give me your booking reference number, please, sir? 246NBF. Excuse me a moment while I put you on hold. He'll tear up a letter about a TV license and close the blind. Then he'll contact his optician, then he'll turn the heating on and forget to turn it off again. Welcome, have a seat, sir. What can I do for you today? I can't see anything. I can't see more than a foot ahead, and everyone I know looks like a stranger. I can't tell my hand from the bed at night. I can't tell the earth from skin. I can't tell Africa from South America. Can't tell apples from oranges, nightmares from dreams. String from string, note from note, wood from stone.
Thank you, Nia. Next we have Paul McDonald.
Yep. Oh, woo, woo, woo!
So I've gone between two pumps. I'm going to ask all of you all to like choose. So unfortunately for me, I cannot write even my own name. So I'm going to choose like two songs. Like one is between Pink and the other one is Alanis Morissette. So I'm going to ask you to cheer for who you want to hear. So if you want to hear Pink, sure. If you want to hear Alanis Morissette, sure.
Alanis!
Alanis!
That already answered my question. So I'm going to talk, and the poem that I'm going to say is Alanis Morissette. It's called You Ought to Know. I want you to know that I'm happy for you, and I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your babies? I'm sure she'd make an excellent mother. 'Cause the love that you gave me, that we made, wasn't able to make it enough. Too wide open, no. And every time that you speak her name, does she know that you told me you'd loved me until you die? But you ought to know.
Thank you, Paul. Next up, could we please have Marie Hall?
Woo-hoo! This poem was called The First Sip. In a pub halfway between Milltown Malbay and Kilkee, a man sits at a bar, elbows out, to contemplate his pint of stout. In a foggy glass, black liquid is rising into white cream. He takes a sip. The ruby dark seeps like firelight from burning turf. Gladness rings in a sigh, the smack of his lips, the harder in silence. The first sip, before the gullet scooped it down, is unlike the others. Before the upper lip surface dipped to sift a bitter sweetness on his tongue, it was just enough to feel a stroke of velvet or freshness of a cold sun. He puts the glass down, tastes chocolate, thinks of Valentine's Day. 16 then, a pink envelope in the post addressed to him. With a steady scrape of wood on tile, a barstool buddy joins him. He catches an eye, gives the nod, talks in snatches of downpour, rattles results of the match. He sits a stretch further from who he was when he sat alone. In between filled silences, he is solemn. He longs to hold the moment once again. The memory lingers on his palate. He drinks on.
Thank you, Marie. Next we have Patricia Walsh.
Anywhere soon and exit cleared. Shunting the retarded into a living cupboard. View letter remove, a ring tone demonized. simple that manage washed down on spec. Was it noble to follow the rules? Not to associate left hand with right, perhaps. Necessary obligations lay into the morning. Stop that accommodation of beloved at once. Homeborn concatenations will be restricted in due course. More family secrets than another, nicely. Not getting stalled from another, mercifully dead. Mifflin exclusion, deserved at a glance. Prayer for occupation, aim at getting a job. Not striving as yet, financial surprises looming. Humble destinations, productive misgivings. Failing to return, now wanting to be heard. This parish joke, through marriage and rebirth. Quality financing of singular disease. Producing one a day is simple enough. This teacher's minion, popular all the same. The unemployable song catches a fire. Living responsibly, dark veins of housing. Bouncing off indolence, parting desirably. The functional terrain of a burdened situation. Thank you.
Trisha. Next we have Molly Chimney.
So this is flash fiction as published in Banshee, which you can buy. So it's called Massage. She smitches on the CD and soaks her fingers in rapeseed oil. He removes his shirt and lays on the table. She dims the lights, applying pressure to his sacral. Her hips move to the motion of her shoulders. She closes her eyes, imagines kneading dough for her two boys. Their gapped smiles, runny noses. The man grunts and she is back. She moves up to his lungs and presses in, like he is a bottle of ketchup. He wheezes as she compresses. She wants to squeeze until he can no longer breathe, wants his organs to come out his lips. She will hang them in her hostel like ornaments. He slaps her thigh as if to say that's enough, and she returns to this man, the clock on the wall, the life she was told to run towards.
Thank you, Molly. Next we have our five-word champ, Amy.
So I'm going to read this one because you might have noticed that it's getting colder again. A small context to that. In Germany, when you return plastic bottles or glass bottles, there's a deposit system, so you get money back. Just as a context, in case you didn't. Statue. At first, I thought you were a statue. But do we live in a world where we erect statues of homeless people sleeping in the park? You look barely alive. Your body was cringed like a fetus trying to fit onto the surface of the park bench. Your breath was weak, releasing rhythmic steam clouds from your open mouth. One hand under your exposed head, the other one hanging down, holding a plastic bag filled with empty bottles. Maybe you drank some of them, others you collected for recycling, to get some money to drink again. Tomorrow. Your fingers were stiff from the cold, clawed to the handle of the bag so tightly its contact must seem so valuable to you. Will you see tomorrow? I was walking home late that night, holding my keys in my hand like a blade, when I found you lying there. I looked down, and my weapon suddenly seemed distorted. Could I fight a man with a key? Could you fight against winter with plastic bottles? Both of us so vulnerable. I took off my blue woolen hat and put it on your head. Your hair was thin and dirty. Then I tried to bend your fingers open. I don't know if they were frozen or maybe you just wouldn't let go of that bag. So I just gave you one of my gloves. One. There's only one shelter in this town. They said all beds were taken for this night. The guards will go and have a look. I went home. I had a home. Anger nested inside me and it grew. This wasn't right. A spark of hopelessness soon became insomnia, yet I dream. There is a statue of a homeless man sleeping on a park bench. No one wants it there.
Thank you, Amy. Next we have Declan Roach.
I suppose Culture Night is one of those occasions where the poetry transcends generations and time and geography. I have no idea whether this is his best poem, but when I was kind of googling for something from him, it resonated with me, so that's what I have. Tonight, I can write the saddest lines. Write, for example, the night is sheltered, and the blue stars shiver in the distance. The night wind revolves in the sky and sings. Tonight, I can write the saddest lines. I loved her, and sometimes she loved me too. Two nights like this one, I held her in my arms. Kissed her again and again under the endless sky. She loved me sometimes, and I loved her too. How could one not have loved her great still eyes? Tonight, I can write the saddest lines, to think that I do not have her, to feel that I've lost her. To hear the immense night still more immense without her, and the verse falls to the soul like dew to the pasture. What does it matter that my love could not keep her? The night is shattered and she is not with me. This is all in the distance. Someone is singing in the distance. My soul is not satisfied that it has lost her. Blind man goes back to.
Did you leave it?
Oh. Lots of emails come in at midnight. So. This is all in the distance, someone is singing in the distance. My soul is not satisfied that it has lost her. My sight searches for her as though to go with her. My heart looks for her and she is not with me. The same night, whitening the same trees, we, at that time, were no longer the same. I no longer love her, that's certain, but how I loved her. My voice tried to find the wind to touch her hearing. Another's, she will be another's. My kisses before, her voice, her bright body, her infinite eyes. I no longer love her, that's certain, but maybe I love her. Love is so short, forgetting is so long. Because through nights like this one, I held her in my arms, my soul is not satisfied that it has lost her. Will this be the last pain that that she makes me suffer. And these, the last verses that I wrote for her. So it's not just in Ireland you have culture in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Declan. Thank you, Pablo Neruda, for those words. And next, could we call upon Thomas Carr?
So this is also not mine. This is a 113th chorus of Mexico City Blues by Kerouac. I always quite love it hearing it performed, so hopefully I'll do it justice. Got up and dressed up, went out and got laid, then died and got buried in a coffin on the grave. Everything is perfect because it is empty, because it is perfect with emptiness, because it's not even happening. Everything is ignorant of its own emptiness. Anger doesn't like to be reminded of fits. You start with a teaching, inscrutable of the diamond, and end with it. Your goal is your starting place. No race was run. No walk of prophetic toenails. You just numbly don't get it.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you, Jack Kerouac. And next, could we call upon Margaret Carr?
The beauty of Culture Night in Orville is that you get the wonderful poets, and then you get me.
Yes!
This poem I learned last night. You'll be very impressed by my ability to learn quickly. My son told it to me over dinner and I thought, do you know what? I'll tell this tomorrow night. So here goes. I dig, you dig, he digs, she digs. We dig, you dig, they dig. Very short poem, but very deep. One more. I want to dedicate this to the person Declan spoke of, actually, my very good friend Anne-Marie, who died just over a year ago. And we spent many very, very enjoyable culture nights here at O'Gale in this very room. It's called Eternity. And it's a very short poem, so here it goes. Actually, I found it in a little teeny-weeny piece of newspaper print in a diary that I inherited, so to speak, from my grandfather, because in my day we didn't have a lot of new books. And I found this in it, and it's a very nice little thing, but it's very short, but here it goes. It's called Eternity. I have only got a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced up to me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. Give a count if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it.
We dig it. Thank you very much. Big time. Thank you, Margaret. Okay, so we're, I think, down to two poets, unless someone else would like to maybe say a poem.
I'm not truly Irish. I don't have anything memorized.
Need to be truly Irish. Ask the guest poet. Okay, our penultimate poet for this evening is Sue Blue.
Thanks a million. I'm going to do the poem that I didn't do at the show earlier on. So here we go. I'm sorry, but it's like I do need my brain crutch, so you know, just in case. I gotta do my favorite. Sorry, lads. If you've heard it before, maybe you love it. I love it. It's called Metal. After we invented the wheel, we learned how to melt the metals from the rock, and the gold rush began. As we dug and drained all the gleaming precious metals from the veins of the earth, forging jewels, coins, and wealth, hoarding them like magpies. Red hot like liquid fire flowing, a crimson burning liver, river glowing, molten copper, iron, silver, slithers smoothly through the grooves, pouring into casting cauldrons, shooting into foundry molds, steaming, smouldering. Zosh, the streaming gold is cast to form. We made tools from the new metals, an axis for slaughtering trees, and arrowheads for felling animals. We made plows to sow the seeds, and blades to cut the deals and steal the riches from the land and owners. And we cast our wildest dreams into reality. Then we made dooming cannonballs to cast on human enemies, and iron bars to capture freedom. Our bullets pierced through history, wheeling round the golden throne. Our Babel titans slice the skies, and we've made drills to bore the very bedrock of our waters. Now hard and cold our steel towns gleam in the sunlight like blue ice. The shimmery promise of gold holds the core to precious pride. But the price of power is high, and now the golden calf is sold. And our hearts like bloody swords from wealth and greed are growing cold. Beyond compare we hoard and kill like magpies merciless as steel. And the glowing stream of gold from liquid fire freezes cold. And our hearts become the stone that once we dug out from the ground, from the gleaming veins of earth, blinded by the promise from her core. Thank you very much.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! Paul, I'm sorry. I actually can do something.
Yeah. Yay! Woo! Our next penultimate poet is Emily Davis Fletcher.
Titled Feeling Crow. You're a tall, smooth tree, an aspen, and I'm a crow who takes the fastest route to your door, scatters stray cats off your porch with shrill shoes and clinging black. Surprise, I bring rings of pineapple, eat twice as much as you. My tongue becomes raw, listening to talk of your spiritual side. How you can stand on a mountain without desire to take a photo. You'll show me, not now. A horse trots in your music. Winds under your skin spin me in and out of your shadow. Lift me, I plant my feet. Drop and roll my crotch across the branch of your thigh. Hold me, I fall head first, then bolt up again and again. You're an aspen, I'm a crow. Until a gun is fired in the woods of your mind, like a stern clap that corrects a dog, and you lead me to your bedroom, where you can be a man who wants a woman he can call baby. Let's go slow, I say, lying back on a blanket that grins with twin tigers. A good or bad sign, baby wouldn't know. I can't say I'm a crow. Crow wouldn't let you stay on top, where you can't hear me. Your eyes shout that I'm the bottom of a well. Your tongue trawls for wishes, while the Adesto River drips from your dry suit into the tub. You peel away my black clothes. A perfect crow body becomes a puddle of baby. With a glance, I send crow to a high shelf. As your mouth drowns promises in my neck, crow warns me, you protect your freedom. When I cup the back of your head, crow shrieks, bald in 7 years. Look at me, baby. You interrupt, my eyes on crow. Pupil black, you think they are closed. No, I keep my eyes on crow, watching your hand. One of the 10 best in the world at finding megalodon shark teeth. Guide my blind hand, one of the 10 best in the county at drawing a tight spiral to your cock. Crow springs, flies counterclockwise around the ceiling fan, firing go, go, go. But I'm too much a woman called baby to do more than kiss your incisors and bite your earlobes. Silencing crow, I hear you whisper, lower, lower. Lower. I forget you were a tree and I was a crow until you stand, reach for the light, an aspen again that drinks most of the water, leaves me a drop, pulls me up with fingertips. Sorry for keeping you so late. You wait in the doorway as if on a mountain. Now you have no desire to take. You look sorry, I'm still on my hands and knees, searching for the dark Siamese skins of my stockings. And what I can't say, I'm looking for crow. I hold our spent condom to the light, flick it like I've seen nurses on TV flick a needle before injection. Inside the little storm cloud you made, two flecks of blood, a lump I pinch. Feeling crow, I read your semen, scare you with the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. I don't envy him or everyone. So our final poet for tonight. Let's give it up for Max Creed, I
I did one for Cultrenet a couple of years back, so it's short. I'll do my 5-word challenge for Sue Blue in your honor. Okay, so it'll be short and sweet. Happy sparkling River Lee, you reflect everything that I see. There's endless possibilities in the secrets that you keep. The electric bar reflected there, it's blue and white and shines on the meniscus. Each key cooperates to tell its tale. You must listen carefully to each whisper. The swan is sliding slowly and alone. He won't seek another mate again forever. All he leaves behind are wavelets in his way. It forms part of the beauty there together. And in the city hall, the orchestra plays only Sheik's music for tonight. The viola's tenderly rehearsing for a gala on this water music night. Happy sparkling River Lee, you reflect everything that I see. There's endless possibility in the secrets that you keep. I hope I have my improv enough. You're right. So it goes along the line. Thank you. Blue, blue, my name's Sue Blue. Blue is my name, but I've other colors too. Cause my hair's two shades of red. Copper and burgundy flow from my head. And you never let it linger. If you run my dreadlocks through your fingers. And baby, if you snag me, I'm just gonna have to nag you. I'll call you a boozy zombie, 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 zombie. Baby, if you hurt me, hurt me, hurt me, hurt me, hurt me. What's next? No. Can't see your words.
Cranberry.
Something. There's another word left to stick in somewhere. So, baby, leave the weave, this dreamy weave. It's natural, it's real. So this culture of forelock pulling doesn't suit me, I'm a strong poet woman. Let's not get in. Okay. So my hair's the color of cranberries. August Strom is the man for me. Sue, my name's too blue. Blue is my name, whatever the colors do. Cause my hair's two shades of red. Copper and burgundy flow from her head.
Thank you very much. And thank you everyone who read on the open mic tonight. Thank you everyone who wrote a 5-word poem and came up and read it. Seriously. But mostly, a big thank you please to our guest poet tonight, Bo Williams. The brilliant poet tonight.